We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Is your artist of the day. Now the mayor of New York City says the helicopter pilot's flight path is, quote, mysterious. He ended up dying when that helicopter made a hard landing on top of a New York City skyscraper. But anyway, the mayor of New York is saying that the flight path is, quote, mysterious.
I thought they were saying he had some medical condition or some unknown, maybe it was unknown condition.
All right, what story is going to blow my brains out?
Oh, you wait. So,
Will, don't you leave me. I need backup.
I'm hanging out.
I want to talk to you about this, too. So Channel 5 did a story about an old unsolved homicide. Horrible, horrible case, okay? It's 30 years old. And a man apparently broke into a 16-year-old girl's bedroom, did the unthinkable, and then took her life. She was 16 years old. Her name was Fawn Cox. And this was, again, 30 years ago. So you guys remember that there are some cases where prosecutors now will charge the DNA in certain cases. Police, of course, have kept the DNA from that crime scene, and it exists, and I'm guessing, in droves. So I'm reading this story. I'm like, do I remember Fawn? I'm trying to remember the case. I don't remember the case.
Okay.
And then I'm going to read this sentence and then tell you what they are thinking about doing, because it's right out of a movie or a sci-fi novel, but it is happening.
Okay.
It says, what if you could see the face of her killer? Technology has advanced, and now authorities are working to take the DNA left at the scene and create something called a DNA mugshot.
What?
When you get home, look this up. It will blow your mind. There are different names for it, but scientists have figured out a way to create a mugshot, Scott, of you based on your DNA. It's called DNA phenotyping, pH what? Phenotyping. And I'm going to read you briefly a story where this happened, and you're not going to believe. Like, I thought, there's no way this is right. There's no way this is actually happening. Oh, it is. There is a man who this year in Texas pleaded guilty to the sexual assault of a woman after they released his DNA phenotype. And we're going to post this story so you can see it. Look at the suspect on the left and his DNA mugshot on the right. It's not bad. Come on.
Obviously, the hair is wrong. The chin is a little off, but the lips and the nose and the eyes are right on.
So this suspect sees his DNA mugshot and confesses. 22-year-old Ryan Riggs was charged with capital murder.
Hmm.
And came forward and said, after he saw the DNA mugshot, it's me.
He just turned himself in.
He first told members of his church. Praise the Lord.
He murdered somebody, but he goes to church?
Huh? It had been, what, 30 years?
So here's my question with this. I've got so many questions about this.
I forgot about that.
You know, There's DNA everywhere, Scott. We leave it behind everywhere. Everything you touch, everything. It's everywhere.
Okay.
I don't know how comfortable I am with this as some type of investigative help. Maybe yes.
I'll be real honest. I Google imaged DNA phenotype, and it's got a whole bunch of these comparisons. Some of them are very close. Some of them are not very close.
There we go. Hey.
I think we're too far out from being able to reliably use this as a public tool.
I can't even believe this is a thing. Because here's the deal. What? You did the 23andMe, Scott.
I did.
It will tell you your eye color. Okay. So let's say authorities have this guy's DNA in this old 30-year-old homicide in Kansas City, and God love that family, and I hope they catch this guy.
Okay.
They will be able to tell, based on that DNA that they have, eye color, hair color. What else? You did the same thing I did. Whether or not you like asparagus was one of there's some weird stuff in
there. Yeah, there were. I was, and this isn't part of the endorsement deal because I did 23andMe long before they were a client.
It's eye color, skin color. Didn't they tell hair you
what,
color.
What hand you predominantly use?
Yes. But Will, how do we get from that to here's a DNA mugshot?
Here, I'll look up. My 23andMe profile, because I was just, like, blown away by... I was like, man, how'd they know that?
Yeah, there's a lot of detail. I mean, there's so much that's included in your DNA. And, like I said, some of these, yeah, look pretty much spot on, but there's a lot of these where, boy, I wouldn't feel comfortable putting out a wanted poster based on that.
Well, what if you're totally innocent? You are just minding your own business. You're some 26-year-old kid... you know, studying for his master's at UMKC. And the DNA mugshot spits out something that looks like this kid that's done nothing wrong.
Then presumably you would be you'd be exonerated by the DNA, right?
Yeah, they would follow you, wait for you to throw away like a Coke bottle or something, and then they would take the DNA off that and say, well,
that's not our guy.
Research on DNA phenotyping has advanced rapidly in the last calendar year with the application of machine learning approaches, but the extent of their current capabilities is hotly debated.
So I'm confused a little bit, I guess, about what your question is.
What's wrong with it? I had no idea that they could do this. Based on your genetic profile.
Okay.
And B, I just don't understand how it could ever be reliably used as a tool.
Oh, well, I don't think introduce it in court.
But it worked in Texas. Scott, it worked in Texas. But it worked because he saw it and said, okay, that's me.
Right. It worked to pressure the guy into giving himself up. That's really what it boiled down to.
Here's where I would not be comfortable. I don't think I'd be comfortable with them running the DNA phenotype through a driver's license bureau database and trying to match up, you know, the top 50 matches to what this computer thinks your DNA looks like.
I don't have a problem with it.
I don't think I do either.
It's not going to be introduced in court and say, aha, look, it looks just like Scott Parks over there on the bench.
But my question is this. If they are getting this close now to be able to maybe be in the ballpark based on your DNA.
But as Will said, a lot of them don't look anything like it.
Where is it headed? You always ask, where is it headed?
I think you're stretching on this one a little bit. I don't have a problem with them saying this is what we think the person might look like.
There's no way this is accurate. There's no way.
It wasn't that case.
Well, there's one.
There are some that look pretty good. There are some that don't.
What website are you on that compares
them
side by side?
I could hear you in 1993 when DNA was just coming out and they were starting to figure out, wow, you can match this and determine that this person, that the likelihood that this is wrong is one in like 5 billion. I could see someone like you, although you would argue with someone like me going, there's no way. There's just no way that's going to work.
I think jurors early on did not buy it.
O.J. Simpson.
Hello. That was one in whatever it was, like,
do you remember
quadri-trillion
when the O.J. Simpson trial was going on, they had to explain
what, like, DNA evidence was. Yeah.
What DNA was, because I remember I was working at KLWN in Lawrence at the time when that trial was going on, and I remember watching the O.J. Simpson trial in the newsroom, and they're trying to explain DNA, and I'm like, what in the name of Sam Hill are they talking about? This doesn't make any sense.
Here's where I love this for law enforcement. Love it. If you have an unidentified missing person or body, Scott, and you have no idea who this person is.
Sure.
And you're trying to identify this person.
Joe in Overland Park. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey.
We're doing well. Thank you, man.
So I'm okay with, you know, maybe looking for new leads in cases, stuff like that, but not to convict them.
No.
There's no way.
No. I mean, because like I said, you know, this is the same way as somebody giving them a sketch of a suspect, you know. You can look, but, I mean, I don't even want it being used to get a warrant for DNA.
Right.
You know.
Because even with the sketches, Joe, some of the sketches we've seen are really, really close. And some of the sketches you look at, after the person's been identified and arrested, you're like, eh.
Well, I mean, I've worked with law enforcement before, and eyewitnesses are the worst evidence to have in a case. They want physical. They want DNA. Anything that leaks directly to that person, not an eyewitness account. Because it's unreliable based off of your perception.
Right.
I'm looking
but
up.
If you go on the website for this company, it says, solve your toughest cases fast.
I'm looking up worst police sketches of all time. Look at this one. It looks like an alien.
Focus. Focus.
I'm sorry. All right. I do appreciate the call, Joe. Thank you.
And what if you share the DNA profile photo and say, you know, the computer kicked this out. We don't know.
Right.
And the community sees it, and in fact, the suspect looks nothing like that. I mean, that's another problem, Scott.
Then you're really no further ahead than you were before. I mean, I guess there's no harm there, is there? If you spit out a photo, it doesn't get you any leads. Okay, you're right back where you were before.
It would be the same as the composite sketch.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this one doesn't look like the suspect.
Stop it.
Uh-oh, we lost Scott.
We've totally lost him.
Got sucked into an internet rabbit
hole.
This one,
they kind of screwed that one up too.
I'm going to post the DNA snapshot story on our Facebook page. I want to do it. Scott, what if you give your DNA and I give my DNA?
I already gave my DNA to 23andMe.
And then let's see. No.
I made sure that I signed everything so that nothing can be done
with it. And then let's see if it looks like you.
Well, who's going to do it?
I don't know. These people at this fancy DNA store.
You know what they're going to do? They're just going to look me up online.
Oh. Yeah, I guess they would.
Yeah.
Like, comes out looking exactly like you.
Trying to prove a point here, guys.
How did they know he had a scar on his face?
How did they know?
Well, then that's why you submit it as Mayo B. Parks III and throw him off the trail, see? Throw him off your scent.
Throw him off your scent. Let's get to the phones. Oh, I see what you're doing there. Let's go to Blue Springs, bring in Risa. Hello, Risa.
Hey, yeah, hi. Just to add a little, twist onto this DNA conversation you guys are having. There was a case of a woman who was not a DNA match to her children, and they couldn't figure it out. They were doing a bunch of, you know, DNA testing, and, I mean, of course, she knew that she was the parent, you know, that she had the baby inside of her and all that. Like,
right.
You kind of know, right, that you're the mom. Well, anyway, they did a bunch of testing to try to figure out why this was happening, and eventually they found out that the different organs in her body had a different DNA code. They had actually, like, different ways that they, you know, the individual pieces of DNA matched up, and the kids, her children, were actually a closer match to her brother than they were
her.
To her DNA, right.
But she was, like, there in the hospital room, delivered the children, remembers being there. Huh.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then there was another case where there was the government trying to take away the children from the mother because they thought that she had stolen the children. And so what happened was basically she was pregnant at the time whenever they were trying to take away her existing children. They basically sent a state official to the room with her to test the baby as soon as it came out of her so that there was a witness, and then the baby didn't match her DNA.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was like right there in front of them, like, yeah, this is
the mom. Have you been watching Investigative Discovery?
Yeah.
Have you been reading the National Enquirer?
No, I really just like learning things, like different weird things about people, you know.
Huh.
I'm just one of those people that...
Okay. All right.
Is interested in humans.
The thing that makes this so interesting, Scott, with 30-year-old cases, not necessarily the case that happened this week, although I guess it could be helpful, but if you have a case that is 30 years old, like this poor 16-year-old girl who was killed in Kansas City, mm-hmm. the detectives that probably worked that case at the time probably aren't even on the force anymore.
They may not be on the planet.
You know what I'm saying? And so in these cases where you have DNA, no one knows who did this, maybe you've always had a suspect in mind, and maybe the DNA mugshot either pushes you in one direction or away from the other direction as a tool. You know, maybe someone is murdered in a small town, and that DNA mugshot or profile comes back an unusual, let's say, ethnicity for that small town. Remember that one day we were looking up the demographics of one of the small towns and it said, like, Pacific Islanders, zero.
Yeah.
You know, in a case like that, you know, maybe something comes back that is just unusual enough that you can work back and figure out who did it.
Or if you have a suspect in mind, maybe you just, but you can't nail him on it, maybe you just put him in jail for 10 years for writing bad checks.
Okay. Gregory Breeden?
Yeah. I think you... By the way, that case still drives me nuts.
I like it as a tool, and we'll post the website. It's called a Parabon, P-A-R-A-B-O-N, and they've picked the closest matches. But there's some... Look at this girl. That's a good match. Her DNA mugshot looks like her.
Yeah. Let's get to the newsroom. Here is Will Sterrett. Just one more comment on the previous segment, and then I want to move on to something else for just a minute. Somebody writes in, 1779, love you, but this is the craziest, most absurd idea that I've ever heard. Why don't hospitals simply take a DNA sample from every baby born and start a database of DNA records? No. No. Can you, where do we live?
What?
North Korea? You want to take a DNA sample?
I thought this was America.
So did I. We're going to start a DNA database.
And who would be in charge of keeping that database?
Well, the government, of course.
Each hospital?
No. How many babies are all of a sudden going to start being born at home? We're gonna have that baby in the tub.
Hope you didn't want an epidural, honey, because it ain't happening.
Right.
Honey, just push. Shut up and push. Shut up.
Put that baby in that
database. I'll give you some ibuprofen afterward.
So I go to the refrigerator on Saturday. I was going to make myself a cup of coffee, and I like to put some... I drink whole milk. I like whole milk. I don't know why.
Okay.
And I like to put it in my coffee. And I reach down to grab the jug of milk out of the refrigerator. And I didn't notice this when I had purchased the milk at the store.
Okay.
But somebody had written on my milk jug in a silver Sharpie, never buy this was around the top part of the milk jug. Never buy Fairlife milk again. They are monsters. And I'm like, how did I not see this? And who at the Price Chopper in Roland Park is that adamant about Fairlife that they're going to write on the milk jugs?
There's been a thing with the Fairlife dairy.
Turns out it wasn't anybody at Price Chopper or anybody along the chain of getting that milk from the Fairlife plant to the Price Chopper. It was my 18-year-old daughter mm-hmm. who had scribbled it on top of my milk. Mm-hmm. And I finally look at it and I'm like, wait, that's Sarah's handwriting. And so I'm talking to my daughters the other day. I go, hey, A, quit weirding out about the milk, and B, quit writing on it. And Sarah says to me, have you seen the videos? I go, I have no idea what you're talking about. So, Will, fill in the blanks for us.
There has been some footage that was taken undercover at a dairy, I believe it was in Indiana, that... suffice it to say, creates a tremendous amount of animal welfare pressure on Fairlife.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into detail. I think you can figure out what I'm talking about.
There is video apparently taken by undercover by an organization that, let's be honest, would prefer you not eat anything that comes from an animal.
Did it show them being mean to the cows?
Yes. And we did look into it. Kelly and I were talking about it. And so Kelly did some research because I don't have time. You know, I'm too busy working 5 hours a day.
Right.
And so it turns out, yes, there was a person who drives trucks affiliated with Fairlife but not employed by Fairlife. He's been fired. And then there were four employees of Fairlife, according to Kelly's research, that, yes, were found to be kicking. There's one video where they're throwing a cow out of a truck or a calf out of a truck. And all of those employees have been fired.
Okay, so this is such a thing that Scott
the kids
tells
are going
me
crazy
this
about
story,
it.
Will, during the commercial break. He's like, have you heard about this milk thing? And I go, yeah, my 14-year-old daughter last night was like, Mom, do not ever buy this milk. Well, I don't buy milk anyway, but I go, why? And she goes, they are mean to the cows. And I said, oh, okay. And she said, promise me. I said, okay.
I got my kids writing on my milk jugs.
There's a lot more of this that goes on than we're led to believe.
But if you think Fairlife had or has the market cornered...
No.
On and listen, man, there are few that love animals more than I do. I love animals.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of a human... Human beings suck.
Yes.
We're just a horrible species. And what humans have done for millennia to animals is unspeakable.
Agreed.
Okay?
Yep.
So we're all on the same page here. But if you think that Fairlife milk has the market cornered on being jerks to animals...
No.
You need to do your research.
You are correct.
I think most people just look the other way.
I know,
Will, you're very sensitive about some of this. I think most people choose the route which is, I would rather not know. I'm going to eat a steak tonight, and I would rather not know.
Yes.
Where does meat come from? The grocery store. You know, it's that whole thing.
You know, it's true.
Of course it is. No, absolutely.
I think we all go to the store and we're like, that burger looks pretty good. I'm going to have it.
Yeah.
You don't want to know how it got there.
Right.
Because I guarantee you this, if you actually saw how these things get to your grocery store, we'd all be vegetarians.
Agreed.
And that's just a fact.
I would rather not know.
Yeah, it's what's the word I'm looking for, or the term I'm looking for? Blissful ignorance, isn't that what
yeah.
they call it?
Where yeah, you sure. just
or motivational blindness.
Motivational blindness. That was the term I was looking for. You don't want to know, because you know if you knew,
you would not take part in it.
You would be eating a banana and a head of lettuce for dinner tonight.
Well, of course. And you're right. I mean, once I figured out what I did, particularly as it pertains to pork, I stopped eating it entirely. And it's been actually almost to the day 4 years now.
You haven't had any pork at all?
The only time that I have, I was not aware of it at the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I felt terrible about it afterwards.
I would choose to be not aware of it every single time I had bacon.
Stop.
Oops, I ate bacon again. No, just me. This is me.
Who put bacon on it?
Darn it!
Son of a bee sting. Jerk. Jerk!
And it was just sitting there on your plate.
Oh.
It actually, no lie, the smell of bacon now makes my stomach turn.
Dude, I bet it does.
Dude, I went 13 years without eating beef.
Wow.
13 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
We took, Brettinger and I, we took, at the time, she was just a little kid, Haley, who's now a nurse. But when she was a little kid, we went to the Kansas City Zoo and, or was it the zoo or the...
It doesn't matter!
Whatever. Calm down. Why are you yelling at me?
Because we're still driving to Branson. Good, just get to the... I want the payoff of the story. No. I don't care where you were.
No, I'm not going to give it to you.
Were we at the zoo? I would like to hear. Starlight?
Oh, thanks, Will.
Of course.
So I started
it
petting this...
Park.
I started petting this cow, and it looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw its soul. And I decided I would never eat beef again.
What?
And I went 13 years without eating any beef.
What changed 13 years
My
later?
My mom cooked this incredible steak. I said, let me just have one bite.
There
Scott.
We go.
Now, it's like having Scott. One drink. Boom. Off to the races I was. I ate the rest of the steak, and I never looked back.
And now you do Omaha steaks.
That's right.
I'm disappointed in you.
Order now.
That's fine.
I'm disappointed in how easily you caved.
Well, how many years, though? That's impressive.
That's a long time.
13 years.
I know it's 13 years. I know it's 13 years, but really, the sight of a steak after 13 years shouldn't be enough to knock you off the wagon.
My mom's steaks are really good.
If you're really hardcore about it.
Well, apparently I wasn't hardcore anymore.
Apparently not. That's why I'm disappointed.
Really, by the way, omahasteaks.com, and don't forget the keyword is parks.
Shameless plug.
Enter that in the search.
Did it smell really good?
Yes. Oh, my God. It tasted even better than it smelled. Yeah.
It's all you need.
But you eat beef, right?
Limited amounts,
you
yeah.
Eat, you drink milk?
No, I can't drink milk.
Oh, okay.
I can't either. Ugh.
I'm not going to stop buying Fairlife.
That's why when she said, don't buy this milk, I go, I don't buy any milk. We're good.
Robin in Lenexa. Robin, hello.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Good. So I was obviously listening with my husband, as we do all the time, to you guys, and I just wanted to chime in. We also have an 18-year-old daughter that's really upset about the milk thing, and after we dug into it, it wasn't so... You know, these things happen with the dairy farms all over the place, but I think it's more important that these people do tours of their facility, and so in the tours of their facility, they have a set-up area that has these... the animals, the calves, in like a pen, but they have hay, and they're happy with their moms, and they don't send their males off to the veal plants, and they make this big production and money off of people that they treat these animals so humanely. You know, that's why you should buy their milk, because they have happy cows. And in reality, this is the kind of garbage that's going on, kicking them. I mean, the video was very disturbing on top of everything else that was going on at the place. So. Yeah. All I wanted to say.
Now, someone else wrote in, sure. Scott, you're painting with too broad of a brush. I work in agriculture, mm-hmm. and farmers and ranchers care deeply
well,
about their animals.
True. I think that's true.
They go to great lengths to protect them, especially in bad weather. And I agree.
I agree.
I think where you get where, and again, I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush. I think where there are problems,
are
it's
the
usually
corporate.
The corporate
yep.
farms, and you know they're hiring people for. $8 an hour to come in and do stuff, and they just don't care. You know, and Kelly had a good point over the weekend when we were trying to tell the girls it's okay to drink Fairlife milk. A stressed cow will not produce milk. You have to, if it's a milk cow, you've got to treat them well. Because if a cow is being kicked and is all stressed out, they don't produce as much milk. Mm. And yes, Fairlife, to the caller's point, did say anybody is welcome to walk in and film anything they want whenever they want at our facilities.
Okay.
576-7798.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.